5, if you would, please. And if you would, please locate verse number 21, and we're going to read this passage of Scripture. I'll read out loud. You just read silently to yourself, and we'll progress all the way till the end of the chapter of Mark chapter 5, verse 43. And if you could, and if you would, please, out of respect for the reading of God's Word, would you please stand with me? Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, the Bible says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. And may I pause for a moment? Friend, beloved, she died. She was dead. You need to understand that. And then verse 35, the last part, Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, if you can remember, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. May I say, this is no contradiction. Jesus is God Almighty. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the miracle worker that can give life to the dead at any time he wants to. Amen? This is no contradiction. And they laughed him to scorn in verse 40, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let's go back to verse number 35. That will be my text verse. Again, the Bible says, While he yet spake, Jesus, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? I'm going to preach this message this morning and let none of us be above God speaking to us. Amen? Here's the title. You can trouble him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your love towards us. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our risen Savior, our coming Lord, our King of Kings. And Father, we thank you, Father, that we can look into the perfect law of liberty, the inspired and preserved Word of God in the King James Bible, and hear from heaven and know it's true and trustworthy. And Father, we want to hear from you today, not the preacher, but from you. So work in our hearts as only you can. Please save souls, change lives, and challenge this church to go forward for thee. And Father, I ask that you would use Pastor Dameron in a mighty way today as he preaches. And Father, I pray all these things in Jesus' name, for he alone is worthy. Amen. You may be seated. Back in Mark chapter 5 and verse 35, I want you to cue in with me if you would. A certain from the ruler of the synagogue's house, Jairus' house, apparently maybe a kin, maybe a friend, maybe a neighbor, maybe a fellow Jew, but when this story unfolds and Jesus arrives on the scene after Jairus had besought him to come to his house and take care of his little daughter, we know 12 years of age, that had a fever, that she would live, they came and told Jairus, "Thy daughter's dead. Why troublest the master any further?" Now, in this context of this chapter, Mark chapter 5, I'm sure you're familiar with it. You have in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, the maniac of Gadara, who was possessed with the devil and many unclean spirits, and Jesus performed a miracle on him. Amen? You have in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34, the woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, which we read about, who had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And then now you have in Mark chapter 5, verse 23, and then 24 through 43, you have Jairus' 12-year-old daughter who had died of a fever. Now, in this chapter, Jesus performs three miracles. Amen? Now, there's three extremes present here in this chapter. Three extremes. And we're oftentimes pressed to extremity. Can you say amen to that? Are you always on the mountaintop? Or has God led you at times in your walk with the Lord through the valley? And maybe you're present here today and there's some type of hardship or some type of difficulty in your life, some type of extremity in your life, something that looks beyond all hope, something that looks like the impossible could never be done to fix your problem or to relieve you of that extremity. But there's three extremities in these three miracles. Hey, the maniac of Gadara, the man from Gadara, the devil that was in him, his name was Legion, for we are many. He was possessed of the devil and had many unclean spirits in him. He couldn't be tamed. He was always living in the tombs. He was always cutting himself. He was totally ostracized from society. He had incredible strength. He was devil-possessed and had many unclean spirits. This was an extreme case. But Jesus performed a miracle on him, and he got saved and was made whole. Amen? The other extreme was this woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And I know some people have physical problems that go well beyond that. But let's just focus on this woman. This issue of blood, whatever it may have been, I don't know, but it was an issue of blood. Maybe it was unsightly, unbecoming. It obviously was a health condition that she had that had taken over her very view of life. And she had gone to many physicians and spent all that she had, was nothing the better, but rather grew worse. There was an extreme there. But she said, "But if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed." And she was. Amen? And then the third extreme is Jairus's 12-year-old daughter who lay sick of a fever. And you say, what's so extreme about that? Well, in my humble opinion, reading this text properly and waiting on the Holy Spirit, as I've already stated, That 12-year-old girl died before Jesus got there. Now, let me say something to you. She was only 12 years old. That's the pinnacle, or may I say, the epitome of hell. 12 years old. Yet that fever took hold of her, and as Jesus delayed, she died. That was an extreme. The synagogue people, the friends, the kin of Jairus said, look, she's dead. They were trying to convince him, leave off believing that Jesus could heal her. Leave off the fact that he delayed. He dealt with the woman who had the issue of blood 12 years. And by the way, Jesus will take time for you if you are troubled about something in your life. If there's a difficulty in your life, he knows what's ahead. He knows what could take place with this 12-year-old daughter. But this woman said, but if I could press through the multitude, if I could press through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. This was an extreme. The synagogue's ruler, Jairus' friends, his kin, his neighbor says, look, come on, let's come to reason here. Let's use logic. She's dead. That was an extreme. Think about it. But in verse 35 of Mark chapter 5, again, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. And here's where I want you to hang on this. Now, again, none of us are above, and I like, Brother Jeff, I wouldn't try and flatter you. Why would I want to do that? We're not supposed to flatter men. But in your Sunday school class, which I listened to, he said that we are, at times, in our walk with the Lord, we live in the flesh, not that we allow the flesh to dominate. Some people do, and we can allow the flesh to dominate. But in the flesh, we can have some fears. We can have some concerns because we live in a mortal body. But look what it says here in verse 35. They said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further? Let me say it again. She's dead. In my humble opinion. Three miracles, all three had extremity to it. The great fault of many today, listen to me, and I'm not an authority, but the great fault of many today, believers, even pastors, and churches as a whole, and even the true remnant left in America, we give up too soon. We leave off troubling the master. After all, we're saved. This is a little sarcasm here. We're saved. We've been walking with God for years. We know what it takes to be pleasing to God. After all, what could possibly take place in my life that would cause me to trouble the master? I mean, I've got it all together. But they said to Jairus, why troublest the master any further? And the great fault of many is we give up. We leave off. We resign ourselves. We grow dejected. We give into despair and lose all hope. But they said, why troublest the master any further? Again, I want to say to you, my friend, listen to me. It's simple. I'm a simple preacher. You and I can trouble him. You say, well, how far can we go? I'm not saying to delay obedience when God speaks to you. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying take any risks on how God wants to chastise you or even judge you. I'm not saying do that, but you might say, preacher, how far can we go in troubling the master? How far? When can we just say it's not going to happen? When is it where he's going to turn a deaf ear to us or turn to some other need? How far can we go? Let me say something to you that's all about my life. I've learned to trouble the master since I've been saved, November 1977. I've learned to trouble my Jesus. I've learned to trouble him. You say, why, preacher? Because you're a preacher? Why? Because you're supposed to pray? Why? No, because I've had some extremities. I've had some valleys in my life, and I've learned to trouble him. Actually, I'll have to tell you, my friend, it's probably what I do more than anything else in my walk with God, is trouble him. I do. I think of that verse. It's not with me in my notes, not that I have many. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All the great fault of many believers, pastors, churches, the true remnant is we just give up. We leave off troubling him. We resign ourselves to the conditions around us or the condition within us. We give in to despair. We lose all hope. And we allow even religious people sometimes to tell us, look, reason and logic says don't trouble him anymore. He's got better things to do. I basically have one point with some five subpoints, which I'll fly through if I can. You and I can trouble him. He loves to be troubled. In fact, if you can remember the day that you came to Christ, young in between old, I'm going to have to tell you, you've got to go back, and your circumstances may be different from anybody else, but you recognize that you were going to be troubling him to do something for you that you could not do for yourself, and only he could do it, to work a miracle and take you from a lost sinner to someone saved on their way to heaven. Amen? Hey, let this ring in your ears. Young person, you can trouble him, and may I say to you, there's a heap of a lot of trouble going on in this old world today. Amen? You can trouble him. Oh, would to God, God's people, and instead of talking, and I sometimes will join in conversation. I don't like to commiserate, because that's just misery loves company. I'll join in on some things about what's going on in the world, but oh, would to God we'd quit talking. I love to say when all is said and done, more is said than done. But you can trouble him, my friend. I want you to trouble him. You've heard it said that man's extremity is God's opportunity. Amen? I say Satan's design in your life and in my life is to get us to the point of depression and unbelief and just leave off, resign ourselves, accept the status quo. Are you listening? Grow dejected. Look at verse number 35, if you would. Verse number 36 in our text, if you would. Excuse me, verse number 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You know what he was saying to Jairus? Reason and logic, and the fact that she did die, don't be afraid. You troubled me, and I'll accept your trouble. You wanted that daughter to live. And you wanted that daughter to pass from a dangerous fever and live. Don't be afraid. Only believe. My friend, I'll say it again, it's just an echo. You can trouble the master. Do we need to? He loves to be troubled. He loves it. So, well, preacher, aren't we supposed to be perfect little robots? Aren't we supposed to put on a facade or an air that time and instruction has got us to the point where we don't have any trouble or we don't have any situations where we get fearful and are overwhelmed with unbelief or maybe, hey, indifference or maybe apathy or maybe complacency? I don't know if any one of us are saying that we get to that place where we're just never going to have to trouble the master. But I want to give you five things you can trouble the master for. Five, real quick. You can trouble the master for your salvation. You say, preacher, are you kidding me? If I, this morning, really came to the place where I said, no, I don't have assurance. No, I'm just putting in my time. No, my pride is getting into the way of really allowing God to work. You mean I could, you know, I could trouble him for my salvation? You see, you might say, preacher, my sin is so dark and so deep, and I'm so desperate that the Lord Jesus, would he ever look on me? Would he ever allow me to trouble him to be saved? My friend, I'm here to tell you, you can trouble him for your salvation. Amen? You can. You ought to trouble him for your salvation. Matthew 11, 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, for all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast out. Revelation 22 and verse 17 says, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And notice, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You and I have, if we're saved, troubled him for our salvation. But if you're here today and you lack assurance or you have some nagging doubts or you're just wondering if you're wearing the uniform but you don't have him in your heart, then I can tell you, don't let pride get in the way. Don't let reason or logic say no. Don't trouble him any further. You trouble him today because tomorrow may be too late. I think of the rich young ruler who had everything in line. And Jesus says, go and sell all that thou hast and come and follow me. He said, give to the poor and come and follow me. And he went away very sorrowful. And Jesus' disciples said, if he can't be saved, who can? Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And his disciples said, well, if that man can't be saved, who can? And Jesus said, but with God, all things are possible. Are you listening? You say, preacher, I've heard all this stuff before. You can trouble him not only for your salvation, you can trouble him for your supplications. Do we have any needs today in America? Do we have any needs in Morris, Illinois, in Chesterton, Indiana? Do we have any needs? You can trouble him for your supplications. Trouble him. Pour it on him. Pour it on. Pour it on. You say, preacher, how long will he forbear with us? How long will he suffer with us? How long will he allow us not to break through and believe and get victory in him? I don't know how long. You don't either. But I'll tell you what, there were three extremes in Mark chapter 5, and he met every one of them. Every one of them. So before we get too theological, let's just stay biblical. Jump with me, if you would, over to Mark chapter 10. Just a couple chapters up. You can trouble him for your supplications, your needs. God, I need this supply in my life. God, how I need you, God. I need thee every hour. Hey, listen. The old hymn says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. Notice with me, there was a man here who had some great needs, beginning in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Hey, you know what they were telling him? Come on, he's got better things to do. You're just a loudmouth. You want a handout. You just want to get a quick fix. And you just want to receive your sight so you can live a normal life. Many, it might have been some of his disciples that were telling the multitude, hey, just hold your peace. In other words, don't trouble the master. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Don't you think he's so glad when they were telling him, zip it. Quit begging. You're just a beggar. You're blind. Accept it. It's going to happen. A lot of people are blind. And he said, hold your peace. Don't you think blind Bartimaeus, who now received his sight, was so glad he kept troubling the master? Amen? You can trouble him for your salvation, for your supplications. You can trouble him for your sufferings. I was visiting with Brother Dave and Mrs. Olson yesterday at an evening meal, and we were just good fellowship, and we were talking. He mentioned, how are you doing since that horrific accident you were in? And I shared some things, and I understand that, he has some health issues that still are, after many visits and many tests and many examinations, have gone unresolved. And we suffer in this mortal body. We suffer pain and heartache and sorrow. Amen? But right here in Mark chapter 5, this woman had an issue of blood for 12 consecutive years. Now think about an issue of blood. Now that's pretty, that's pretty demoralizing. If it's something where it's your life sustaining part of your body, it's pretty demoralizing. And she went to many physicians, spent all that she had, came to the end of everything, and got nothing better but grew worse. But she troubled him. If I could just break through. Jesus always had multitudes following him. And he'll go where the neediest people always are, and he'll meet your need if you'll trouble him. She waded through, got it, and was healed. You can trouble him for your sufferings. How about the Apostle Paul? He prayed thrice, and I don't believe it was three casual prayers. I believe it was three seasons of prayer. God, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. It was a thorn in the flesh. It had physical implications. It had other implications. It was a thorn in the flesh. Have you ever had a thorn in your flesh that was embedded in the flesh? No fun. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You can trouble him for your sufferings. You can also trouble him for your sanctification. Stay here. In other words, where you consecrate yourself wholly unto him, where you set yourself apart unto him. If there's something not clean in your life, if you're not hungering, thirsting after righteousness, purity, or there's some type of sin, and listen, hey, it's not wrong to be lost. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's wrong to stay lost when you don't have to. A seeking sinner will always find a seeking Savior. Amen? If Jesus wants you more than you want him, and he does, why don't you come today and just take him as he is? If something's not right in your life, if he doesn't have first place, and he should, amen? Trouble him for it. You say, well, he already knows. He knows I'm weak. He knows that I just can't get victory over it. Well, maybe I won't trouble him because you know what? Maybe you don't want victory over it. And you say, well, don't point your finger at me. I'm not. But even if you don't want victory over it, if it's robbing you of any walk with God, and it's robbing you of the joy of the Lord, and robbing you of having a growing faith, no, hey, listen, just keep troubling him over it. Trouble him. Don't get like the rulers of the synagogue, the religious crowd, the logical people. Hey, listen, Jairus, she's dead. Why trouble the master any further? You can trouble him for your sanctification. I think we ought to, don't you? I know you have Empowered Youth. You have Preaching Conference. You have other conferences. I would tend to think a lot of that's about, listen, give your life to Jesus Christ. Let him have first place in your life. Amen and amen. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Philippians 3:7. You say, well, preacher, I don't have any pornography or any real dirt in my life. But you might have some things that you're putting before God. Paul said this, those things that were gain to me, I counted but loss, that I may win Christ. You can trouble him for your sanctification. How about Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, would to God you'd trouble him for your salvation this morning, for your supplications, for your sufferings, for your sanctification. And lastly, now this is for most of us presumably, you can trouble him for souls. You know what I do? I'm not the greatest soul winner. I know one who was great and still is great. Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know what I do? I get their names. I do. Ah, you just got a good memory. No, I work at it. I get their names. If I'm door knocking or if someone visits a church that I'm preaching in, or someone asks me to pray for a lost love, first thing I do is I get their name. I start troubling the master for their soul. Paul said in Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Amen? Don't you love Psalms 126, 5 and 6? They that sow in tears. Listen, usually tears come with trouble. I know it can come with joy, but usually tears come with trouble. Do you still have any wet eyes left? Listen, you may not have some trouble today, but I can guarantee you one thing. In this world ye shall suffer tribulation. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You can trouble him for souls. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, carrying his sheaves with them. Oh, my friend, listen to me. You and I, listen, let's not leave off. Let's not resign ourselves. Let's not get to the place where we're self-sufficient. Let's not get to the place where we insulate ourselves and inoculate ourselves from all trouble. Don't go looking for trouble. Don't make trouble in your life. But I will tell you one thing, Brother Dupree, wherever you are, that's absolutely right. That was a little bit controversial, Brother Vogelin, and I'm glad it was. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. Listen, I'm glad some things that are said are still controversial. Amen? There's trouble today and on the horizon in America. Oh, my bills are paid. I got a paycheck. My investments are secure, maybe. You say, preacher, are you mad? No, I'm just excited. I read this years ago. I baked my own bread, okay? Like Subway. And God stopped me right at verse 35 of Mark chapter 5. Why troublest the master any further? I found myself there. It's me. It's me, O Lord. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, Lord. I don't trouble you enough. And I'm going to keep troubling you. He loves to be troubled. He loves it. You say, but shouldn't I be clean first? Just go back to the day you were saved and realize you were washed in the blood and made clean. Trouble him this morning for your salvation. Come on. I had to. It was trouble. It was a dark cloud of trouble. I had my first job before I graduated from college. I was going to be married in the fall, but I had trouble. I was lost and undone. My parents had just divorced when I was 21 years old, and it crushed me. My security was in my parents and how they raised us five children, and it was all gone. And I just was so empty. And the things I said I'd never do, I was beginning to do. Oh, it was a day of trouble when I got saved. But once I got saved, oh, the floods of joy that came into my soul. What a day of joy. Amen? Trouble him for your salvation, for your supplications. Trouble him for your sufferings, for your sanctification. And right there, I'll camp a little bit. Your sanctification and for souls. Now, I'm going to close with two other passages. All right? Now, it's dangerous for a preacher to say he's going to close. Not because I don't close, not always. But because, oh, good, he's close then. I'll close. Let these two passages speak to you. Why troubles the master any further? Oh, I don't know if we need more of this and more of that and more servants and more churches, and I'm not against any of it. I'm not against any of it. But I'll tell you what you and I need more of. Troubling him. Troubling him. Trouble him. Well, that's going to make me needy. When did you become no longer needy? God's given us object lesson after object lesson. 9/11/01, Katrina. Houston, Texas area. Trouble me, he says. Luke chapter 11, and I'll close in a few moments, but let this speak to you. Look at Luke chapter 11, my beloved, my friend. Look at verse 5. Listen, let the scripture speak to you. Hey, you can trouble him. Watch. You can trouble him. A parable. An illustration here. And Jesus said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Another extremity. And he from within shall answer and say, notice what he says. Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his persistence, he kept troubling him. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Who's got a better commentary on the message than God? The friend says, look, we're sleeping. We're tucked in. We're cozy. My children are sleeping. There's things to do in the morning. Trouble me not. But he kept doing it. Look at Luke chapter 18, and I'll close right here. Look at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. I could give you another example in Luke chapter 18. I will, real quick, before I end. I won't have you read it. Look at verse 1, Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Hey, let me just offer a little paraphrase of that my own, okay? But that's just... keep troubling them. Don't start fainting. Don't resign yourself. Don't leave off. Don't give up. Don't grow dejected. Don't lose all hope. Don't just settle for it and say it's always going to be that way. Verse 2, saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He was an unjust judge. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. He was an unjust judge. We got a lot of those today. Amen and amen. Yet, listen. The same Jesus that showed up when that 12-year-old girl died is the same Jesus today that when there's a ton of unjust judges can take care of that problem too. Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow what? What? Troubleth me. Because she troubleth me. She's pouring her trouble on me. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. If we read some more in Luke chapter 18, how about the publican? Despised tax collector? He said, there's no way in the world I'll venture into the temple. There's just no way in the world God's going to hear my prayer. No way. No way. I'm going to try, though, because I've got to the place of so much desperation in my life. He would not even look so much up to heaven. Smote himself on his breast and said this, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God says, that man went down to his house justified because he humbled himself. Why, you know, she died. Jesus showed up, says, don't be afraid, Jairus, only believe. You troubled me. You came to me. I didn't show up just when all your friends and kin thought I'd be on time. But you troubled me. I'll take care of the problem. And he did. Praise the Lord. Amen. Simple. I wonder Are you and I troubling him enough? What are you going to do about it today? What am I going to do about it? What do you need to trouble the master for? I'm not ashamed to say it. Probably the number one thing I do in my walk with God. You say you're trying to be righteous. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you. No, I'm not. What do I have to be righteous over? Nothing. I probably do this more than anything in my... You say, you don't read your Bible? I do every day. You don't pray? Yes, I do. You don't preach? Yes, I do. You don't go soul winning? Yes, I do. You don't give tithes? Yes, I do. So what? Probably the number one thing I do in my life, in my walk with God, is I trouble the master. Because he loves to be troubled. Let's stand, heads bowed.